Test, test. So guys, if you could all grab a seat, I'm going to welcome up today's speaker. Everybody grab a seat. Now see, sometimes it's really funny because you see the stragglers going for hot chocolate, and you know exactly who hasn't gotten their hot chocolate yet based on who's still getting them. That made no sense. All right, if you guys are going to sit on the pillow tower, just make sure that you don't spill on it or pee on it, because both has happened. Yes, it has. Okay. David Shunker, Taylor Howell, Josias, John Wiseman, Sarah, Abby Pedler, Chris Malusis, Jeremy Lengua, Oksana, Rebecca Dawn. Dawn, like the dish soap? Okay. So this morning, I get to introduce you to an interesting young man. His name is Michael Cole. Mike, do you have your driver's license with you?
I do.
Folks, I want you to see what Mike Cole used to look like compared to now. You guys are laughing before you even see the picture. How is that nice? Okay, so take a look, pass it along. Mike, oh, that's a little bit of feedback. Mike actually was with me for about a week. He came down to Florida, had a good time, did a lot of sun tanning. We checked out a few places, went to Universal. But Mike is actually here today with Rebecca. Rebecca, why don't you stand up? Rebecca is the one who, if you're on the worship team, would be sending you emails. Becky, you told us you wanted to call you Rebecca. Well, someone did. The office memo. I don't know. It's Becky. You can call her Becky. Anyways, Mike and Becky are going to be talking about worship. Mostly Mike, and later today, you guys will see them if you want to be involved in the worship team at their meeting. So, if you could join me in giving Mike a Youth Network welcome. I don't know what that looks like. I was thinking maybe it would involve throwing donuts, but I guess not. It's a hand clap. Here you go, Mike.
Thank you. Cool. So like Ben was saying, we're going to do a meeting today at 1 o'clock if you want to be involved in worship, or if you are already involved in worship. If you can make it to that meeting, that would be great. But what I want to talk to you guys about today is worship and what it means to be people who worship and what it means to, as Christians, to worship God. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the concept. We come in on Sunday mornings and we do 45 minutes of worship and it's a good picture, isn't it? Take a look. What do you think? It's an awful picture. We all come in on Sunday mornings and worship, but there's more to it than just the concept we know. There's a lot to worship. So, in youth, we're kind of going to be starting to dive into worship a bit more, organizing worship a bit more. We want to jump in and really get into it, and we want you guys to be a big part of it. And so we want to teach you what it means to worship and what it means to give our all to God. And so we're going to do a little bit of teaching today. Does anyone have a Bible? Is there anyone with a Bible? Well done, Ernesto. Ben Kennedy's got one. We're going to turn to Romans 12, and we're going to be in verse 1 and 2, but I'll read it to you as well. Give you a second to get there if you want, Ernesto. Who has a Bible? Ernesto's got one. It looks nothing like me, I know. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Ben is coming and bringing around candy for people who have Bibles, so it's good if you do. What do you mean iPod Bibles don't count? Right. It's true. It's a bad picture. I was chubby. I know. I quit McDonald's. Okay, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Says, listen. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so we're going to use some verses from the Bible, including this one, to answer. In school, do you guys do the who, what, when, where, why, and how, like when you're talking about a topic and wanting to write about it? We're going to answer those questions about worship. So let's start with who. Who should we be worshiping when we worship God? Listen. Exactly. If we turn to Exodus 34:14, it says, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Did you know that God is actually jealous of your time and attention? He actually has jealousy for you. There's this concept of God, exactly, he is jealous for me. We sang that today. There's this concept of God that when you are devoting like time and attention to other things, he actually gets jealous, and he actually feels jealousy like we feel jealousy. And so he's very clear that we're to worship him only. That's a really easy one. What is worship? Worship is a response of sacrifice. And it says so in that verse in Romans. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, because that is what reasonable worship is. When are we supposed to worship? Psalm 133, verse 3 says, "From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." So that's from the start of the day to the very end of the day is a good time to worship God. So there's no time that's wrong to worship God. Where are we supposed to worship? Everywhere. You guys know the story of David? You know that song we sing, "I will dance, I will sing to be bad for my king"? What's the next line? "Nothing is hindering this passion in my soul, and I'll become even more undignified than this." That's a verse from when King David was dancing in the street in celebration in just his underwear. He was basically only wearing underwear, and he starts dancing around the street, and his wife basically comes in and says, "What are you doing? You look ridiculous." And he says, "I'll become even more undignified than this." And so there's a part of worship that's public, like dancing in the street and singing here in front of everyone, but there's also a side of worship that's very personal. And so there's you can worship anywhere, but there's different aspects depending on where you are worshiping. When we worship in a big group together, it's different than to when I'm just worshiping on my own in my room. Okay, and these are the two most important questions. Why do we worship? Does anyone know why we worship? Anyone have any idea? Someone? Why not? That's a very good question. Why are we supposed to? Do you know? Sorry. To praise God? That's good. That's more how, what we're doing. What inspires us? What motivates us? Love? Love. Love is absolutely right. Faith, exactly. The love of God inspires us to worship. That's a really good answer. If we're looking at that verse in Romans 12, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy." So that's the start. That's the beginning. God's mercy and God's love is the beginning of our worship. We're not the start of it. We don't just start worshiping, but God loves us, and our worship is a response to that. We worship the character and the nature of God. We worship him because of who he is to us and the way he treats us and the way he acts. He's loving, he's merciful, he's good. We know these things, right? We know that God is faithful. But sometimes we don't turn that around and worship him. Here at TACF, or sorry, here at Catch the Fire, we talk a lot about the love of God. I'm sure you all have seen the banner in the back of the church, right? That we might walk in God's love and then give it away to Toronto and the world. Right, exactly. Here at this church, we have a big revelation of the love of God. And that's exactly what inspires worship. It's not enough just to have the love of God and to pray for the love of God. I can quite easily come up and say, "Hey, you know what? I bless you with the love of God. I pray for more love in your life." And, you know, we understand that, but also that love is supposed to be what inspires us into worship. And so just as much as we're praying for experiences with the love of God and praying to encounter the love of God, we need to be worshiping that love he's given us and worshiping him for that love. Think of it like this. If I were to come up to you right now and give you like an iPad or an Xbox 360, Peter, what would you say? Thank you. You would probably be pretty excited. You'd probably hug me. Well, okay. Well, if I gave you something you did want, like a car or like a brand new drum set, like a $2,000 drum set, you'd probably hug me and say thank you. And then if you want to kiss me, that's kind of weird, but whatever. And later, if you were talking to your friends, if someone was like, "Hey, what do you think of Mike Cole?" You'd probably be like, "Oh, he's amazing. He gave me this drum set. He bought me this Xbox 360. He's so cool." And it's the same thing with God. It says in James, maybe, I think it's James, that every gift we have, every good and perfect gift, comes down from God. So all the things that we value in our lives, all the things we appreciate and love, our friends, our family, our free time, food, exercise, games, whatever it is, the things we love are all gifts from God. But sometimes we don't think to thank him for those things. We don't think to worship him for those things because we just take them for granted. You know, when was the last time you said, "Oh God, thank you for the fact that I can walk around and that I'm healthy"? When was the last time you said, "Thank you, God, for my friends and my family. I'm going to worship you for that"? But they're all gifts from God, and we need to treat them as gifts from God. So that is part of the why we worship him. But we're also called to worship him when we're not experiencing those gifts. We sang that song today, "Blessed Be Your Name." And there's the line in there that says, "Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. But even when the darkness closes in, I will say," is that how it goes? "When the darkness closes in, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord." How many of you know that the nature and the character of God never changes? He never changes. Have you heard that before? That he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So his goodness and his love toward us never changes. But sometimes we don't feel it necessarily. Has anyone ever been through a period where you're like, "I just feel really down and dry and everything just seems hard and stuff at home is going wrong and my relationships with my friends are kind of rocky right now"? And it can feel sometimes like God's love isn't there for you, but it is, and we're still supposed to worship him in those times. So he's called us to worship him all the time, even when we don't really feel like it. One of the biggest things that I've learned about worship is that it actually has very little to do with what I feel. I think sometimes we can get caught up in, "Well, I'll worship God when I feel like it, or when the music's good, or when I feel inspired. But if I don't feel like it, I'm just going to kind of stand here and whatever." But really, worship has very little to do with what I'm actually feeling, because it's a gift of sacrifice back to God. He gives us something, and so I say, "Well, God, I want to return something to you, so I'll return my worship to you, whether or not I feel like it." And then the last question is, how do we worship God? And this is probably the trickiest to answer. And I think in church, we've tried to answer it different ways. We've tried to say, "Well, we worship God with music, or we worship God with dancing or with painting." And that's not just our church. That's the church as a whole has tried to answer, how do we worship God? Because it's actually a really difficult question. How do I adequately express my love to the creator of the universe? How do I tell him what I'm feeling? What's the proper way of going about that? But if we remember that the essence of worship is sacrifice, it kind of keeps us in line of what we're supposed to be doing. In that verse in Romans, it says, "Offer your bodies as a living and sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship." And when it's talking about offering our bodies as a sacrifice, it's not saying go and throw yourself in front of a bus and sacrifice yourself for God. That's not what he's asking. They used to do that. Would be that would be really dramatic and unnecessary. But they used to do animal sacrifices back in the day. They used to set apart an animal and say, "We're going to kill this animal unto God." And basically what God is asking is not that we kill ourselves unto him, but that we give him all of our being. Not just our bodies, not just our time, but everything we have, we lay down to him. It's kind of a sarcastic verse, actually. It's saying, give God everything because that's what's reasonable for the amount of love he's shown you. He deserves it all. And we sing that song that I think Melissa wrote, "Take all of me, take 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 all of me." And that is really what true worship is. It's saying to God, "You can have everything I have. You can take everything I have because you deserve it all. You've shown me so much love and so much mercy. Take all of me." But beyond that, it's also beyond just saying, "Come and take all of me," it's saying, "I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to take steps to give myself to you." And that's what we're doing when we meet for worship here, when there's music playing. We're taking a step to say, "God, I'm actually going to give myself to you. I don't really feel like raising my hands or singing. I don't really feel like it, but I'm going to give myself to you because you've been so good to me. And it's a gift back to God. And that's the essence of worship, is sacrifice. And then the second part of it is in that verse in Romans, it says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we talk a lot about living a righteous life and staying away from sin and all those things. But did you know that when you do those things, when you actually make good decisions and when you live a righteous life, it's actually worship unto God? It says that when we don't conform to the patterns of this world, it is reasonable worship to God. And so every decision that you make, not just in church, but just in your day-to-day lives, can reflect your worship unto God. So say I'm at home with my mom, and she, yeah, I know, it's great. Say I'm at home with my mom, and she says something that I don't really like, and I talk back to her or whatever, I tell her off. That is actually reflecting on my worship to God. Because God is saying that don't conform to the ways of this world, live a good life, live a pure life, and that is your worship to me as well. And so the way I treat my friends is just as much worship as when I stand here and sing to God. You know, worship isn't just what I do on Sunday. It's the way I talk on Monday, the way I act on Tuesday. It's all these things combined. And so we need to be working on not just our musical worship, but living lifestyles of worship. Does that make sense? Does that kind of make sense? Does anyone have any thoughts on what living a lifestyle of worship might mean? Shout it out to me. If someone were to say a lifestyle of worship, what does that make you think of? Gandhi? Yeah, worship every day. It's true. It's true. We need to be even disciplining ourselves to say, throughout the week, God, I'm going to worship you. I was talking earlier about congregational worship and personal worship. And congregational worship, if you can remember that term, is when we meet all together and we either sing or dance or praise God as a group. We're all going at it together. But on the other side of that is personal worship, which is just as important. It's when it's just you and God, when there's no one else around, when no one's leading you in, but you are worshiping God just for yourself. And like, for me personally, that looks like sometimes I'll just grab my guitar and I'll sit in my room and just start singing to God whatever is coming up in my heart. And that is personal worship. And it's just as important as when we're worshiping together. So that's kind of what a lifestyle of worship looks like, is developing not only the times when we're together, but also throughout the week, developing worship to God and making decisions that glorify God and spending time singing to him and telling him how amazing he is. So that's what a lifestyle of worship is. Another thing I want to just mention to you guys is that worship has very little to do with the songs we sing and the words we say and the dances we dance and the paintings we paint. So when Paul or me or whoever's up here is playing guitar, what we're playing isn't worship. What the words we're singing aren't really worship. What worship is what our heart is doing on the inside. Our worship is what's inspiring those words to come out. Does that kind of make sense? So worship is like the internal, what's going on inside me, where my heart is at, is worship. But it almost always takes an external form of expression. So my heart is saying, oh my goodness, I'm so in love with God, he's so amazing. And my way of externalizing that, or my way of getting that out, is to play guitar and sing. But sometimes we can look at the way someone is singing or playing or dancing or painting or whatever, and we can kind of judge that as their worship. So we're like, oh, well, they didn't play very well, so the worship wasn't really good. But that's not the case at all. Or they didn't paint that very well. I don't know what they were thinking when they were painting that. So the worship was a bit weird. But that's not the case at all. Worship is what's going on that we can't see. Worship is very much what's going on the inside. So when someone gets up and plays their heart out and maybe it's not perfect, we can't be saying, well, that wasn't good worship. Or when a worship set doesn't sound the way we'd like it to sound, or it's not the style of music we like, that doesn't mean it's good or bad worship. It just means the external display of it is a little different than what we'd like. So I want to challenge us a bit to examine our hearts about worship, the things we've believed about worship. What do you guys find easy about worshiping here on a Sunday morning? Talk to me. We're going to do a little interaction now. What do you like about worship here on Sunday mornings? Anyone have anything? It's fun. What makes it fun? Cool. The music. The music is fun. I like it. Any other ideas? What's good about worship on Sunday mornings here? What do you like? What do you enjoy? So, yes. The singing. You like the singing, how people are singing together and everything. That's really good. The music of it's nice and people get to sing together. The what? It is fun. It's a lot of fun. Well, he thinks it's fun too. Any other ideas? Yes. You're free to worship how you want. That's a big one. In some churches, you're not free to worship. You can't dance around or whatever, but here we're free to worship as we please. That's a really good one. Yeah. It's like intimate, close-knit family in here. She was saying that it's smaller over here than it is in there, so we can kind of come at it like a family, which is true. That's a really good point. Any other thoughts? Say it a hand. What? Yeah, it's true. It's like Ernesto was saying that we're the ones playing, so it's very much our worship together. It's not someone leading us in, but it's all of us going in together, and it's youth playing and youth singing. That's really good. Other thoughts? That's a ton of good stuff. It's fun, right. Thanks, Candy. Okay. Oh, yes. It's fun. Excellent. What are some things that you find, and be honest, what are some things you find hard about worship or not so good about worship here on Sunday mornings? It's what? Yeah, sometimes there's other people around, and so you feel like you can't really do what you want. That's a good point. Sometimes it's not fun. Very good. Thanks. Any other thoughts about what's hard? What do you find challenging about Sunday mornings here? Yeah. That's really good. Taylor said that when you're leading or when you're up on stage, not viewing it as a performance, but just doing it unto God, like an audience of one. That's a really good point. That can be really hard sometimes. Sometimes the music makes you sleep. That's completely honest. I agree. Sometimes it's like, I'm tired, it's Sunday morning, and I just want to fall asleep because the music's soft and I'm tired. That's a good point. Any other thoughts? What's hard? Just, okay, nothing. That's good. These are all really good points. And these are all really things we need to be talking about and considering because as much as we can say, well, just get over it, we want to know what is hard and what's good and what makes it fun and what you'd like to see done differently. Does anyone have any suggestions for worship on Sunday mornings? Because we want this to be like a family worship time where we all have input and we all rap? No, okay. More dancing from Oksana. Okay. More fun. Excellent. What would be fun? Crowd surfing? That might get dangerous, but okay. Yes. So like more creative, painty group with the feet. Cool. Because these are all legitimate forms of expression. Any other ideas, suggestions for worship on Sunday mornings? Thoughts, things you'd like to see? Different songs? What kind of songs do you like? Different songs? Cool. Not do the same songs over and over. That's a good point. What has been like your favorite worship time? What I know I can think back and be like, oh my gosh, that was the best worship session I was ever in. Sorry, at Fresh Wind? Is that like, or the concerts and stuff, is that what you said? Yeah, so like when the music's loud, when the music's pumping and cranking and, no, not for you. Heavy bass. What is the best worship session you've ever been in? Where you dance a lot, where you get to kind of just go crazy and let loose, where you fist pump. Cool. So here's what I'm going to say to you. Here's what I'm going to say in all of this. We're going to do our best to make worship easy for you guys to enter in, but also can you guys do your best to take these things that you've suggested and put them into motion? So even if the music isn't perfect for dancing, maybe just start dancing and that'll help the music be better for dancing. Does that make sense, kind of? Maybe even if the music isn't fist-pumping music or clapping music, just start clapping and going for it. And other people will naturally start to come into that. So we want to make this not just the people up here are leading you into worship and you follow them, but like we're all going in together and we're all working together. Does that kind of make sense? Cool. Having fun together as well. Worship should be fun. All right. Okay, what we're going to do right now is we're going to talk to God just on a personal level, because I feel like God wants to kind of talk to us about where our hearts are at in worship and what we think about worship. Cool? Does that make sense? So everybody, all across this place, close your eyes. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, we just invite you in this room right now. You're already here, but would you come and teach us about worship? God, we want to learn more about what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Papa, I just pray right now that you would be speaking to our hearts. We're going to stop for just a couple minutes and listen to you and what you have to say about worship and worshiping you. God, what does it mean to worship you? And just go ahead and ask him that right now. God, what do you want to teach me about worship? And just fix your eyes on him. What do you want to show me about what it means to be a worshiper? Holy Spirit, just keep coming in this room. I feel like God wants to tell some of you how much he loves your worship when you sing to him. I feel like there's some of you that sing just in your room or just at home when no one's listening, and God just wants to tell you how much he appreciates that and loves that, and he wants to encourage you with that. I feel like some of you have been wanting to like take up an instrument. I feel like God's also encouraging you in that. I'm not going to ask you to share what God's speaking to you, but I just want to say, Holy Spirit, would you keep coming and teaching us about worship? And just throughout this week, would you be dropping ideas for worship into our heart and like showing us new things, showing us new ideas? And Papa, I pray that you would stir up like an excitement in this youth group for the things that are going to be going on. I thank you that you're moving in this youth group, and I just pray that your presence would just reign in the worship times we have, God. Holy Spirit, that you would, we as a group just commit our worship to you, that you would come in, whoa, thanks, Ben, that you would come in and flood in our worship times, Holy Spirit. Yeah. So that's all I wanted to share with you guys about worship today. We're probably going to keep, thank you very much. We're probably going to keep talking about it a bit over the course of the next forever. But just kind of wanted to give you a vision of what worship looks like. Thank you. And so if you're interested in joining the worship team or already are on the worship team, if you could come to the meeting at 1 o'clock in here in a half an hour, that would be fantastic. Otherwise, if no one else has anything else to say, you are dismissed, and you guys rock. Thank you.